we're still on the heights of our celebration of our anniversary service last week. Father, we want to continue seeking your will and your guidance for all that you would have us to do. Father, I pray that you will speak to us through your word this morning. Give us your word about your work in your way. And so, Father, I pray that your blessing will be upon your word. Use it in our lives to transform and change us, make us more into the image of Christ. And Lord, I pray this morning that if there are those who are lost here, may they hear the word of the gospel, may they trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and may you be glorified and honored through those decisions that are made this morning. We ask for your blessings on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the title of my message this morning, God's Work in God's Way.
Just to make sure it's going through on the recording there. I've entitled it God's Work in God's Ways. You know, have you ever stepped into something with the best of intentions in your life, only to find yourself in the middle of a desert, if you will, spiritually, tired and thirsty, wondering how in the world you got to where you are? You know, most of us know what it feels like to hit that kind of a wall in our life. You start something with energy, with enthusiasm. Many of us, even as New Testament believers, you started with an excitement in your heart, but somewhere along the way, that passion and that fire has waned, and you start hitting the bottom, and the bottom begins to fall out. You know, that can happen in all kinds of things in our lives. That can happen when a business deal collapses and falls through. It can happen when relationships dry up. It can happen when a plan that seemed so promising looks and seems so suddenly impossible. What we're going to see in this chapter is that's where there are three kings in this passage. That's where these three kings find themselves in 2 Kings chapter 3. If you'll remember, we've already looked at chapters 2 and chapter 1 and looked at Elisha and his calling by God and his commitment to follow the Lord in the footsteps of Elijah and receiving that double portion of God's Spirit upon him in the last passage that we looked at in this section. But this morning, I want you to see what happens. You know, after the mountaintop experience, if you will, he saw Elijah go up in that chariot. He saw the whirlwind that he went up in. He saw the mantle fall. He picked it up and he took it and he smote the waters and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And God showed up in a powerful way and demonstrated himself powerful when he parted the waters for him to go through on the other side, showing that his hand was upon Elisha. Well, sometimes when we're on those mountaintop experiences, sometimes we have some of those spiritually in our lives, and then life happens. And you wonder, why can't I have that kind of experience even when I'm just going through the everyday mundane things of life, much less when I'm going through the valleys of life? Here were these three kings. They thought that they had a good plan. They had made alliances. They had set their strategy. They had started marching. But very quickly, as we're going to see here, they found and discovered their limitations of their own wisdom. These three kings had sought and set out to fight Moab. They were confident in their own strength, confident in their own strategy, but soon they found themselves in a desert with no water, and their soldiers were exhausted. Their animals were collapsing. Their hearts were filled with fear. And God was in control still. God was sovereign, just like he is, even when we're going through the valley experiences of our lives. God allowed them to reach the end of themselves so that they could discover the beginning of his power. And yet, even in their failure, God was faithful. And so this passage we're going to look at is really about how God does his work in his way through his people. And so if we learn to listen to him, obey and trust him, we're going to discover that he always supplies what we need, even though he does it often in ways that we don't expect. So I want us to look at these three truths this morning. The first here is this: the foolishness of man's plans. Look, if you will, and let's read the scripture here, verse 1 down through verse 10. So it says in chapter 3, verse 1, in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 12 years. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, though not like his father and mother, for he put away the pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he had made Israel to sin. He did not depart from it. Now, Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he had to deliver to the king